Welcome to Sunrise Orthodontics Airway and Sleep Group podcast. I am Dr. Calkins, and our guest today is Mary Frances Gonzalez, founder and CEO of Sound Mouths. She is a speech language pathologist and a certified orofacial myologist by the world-renowned International Association of Orofacial Myology. Welcome, Mary, to this podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let's start with basics. This is an introduction to orofacial myofunctional therapy. So what is myofunctional therapy?
Okay, so the short version of what is myofunctional therapy could be said is it's physical therapy for the mouth. A more technical definition is that it is a therapy to reestablish normal oral rest posture, which improves function during speech, breathing, and feeding.
Correct.
With this correct oral rest posture, it will positively impact mouth and facial growth.
So for how long does myofunctional therapy has been around? Is this a recent discipline, a recent development?
Oh no, it's actually been around for a very long time. In the early 1900s, Dr. Edward Engel, which we know is the father of orthodontics, had stated that every malocclusion has a myofunctional cause. So one of his first students, Dr. Alfred Rogers, decided he was interested in getting to this root of the cause of what was causing malocclusions. And his research led him to oral facial muscle function and pressure. So based on that research of Dr. Alfred Rogers, he concluded that the oral and facial muscles were living orthodontic appliances. And since his initial studies and publications, this field has grown far, far beyond dentistry. So it's been around since the early 1900s. It's not anything to say it's a recent development or a fad is absolutely untrue.
I'm glad that you point that out because this is a discipline that clearly grew up at the same time as the specialty of orthodontics. Now, almost 220 years ago, Dr. Engel and his first group of students were very adamant on studying the function of muscles and their impact on the craniofacial respiratory complex. So this is by no means a recent development in science. What causes myofunctional disorder?
What causes a myofunctional disorder is anything that can negatively impact the normal development of the muscle and the function. And we can kind of group that into like five big areas, okay? One obviously is genetics. The second being tethered oral tissues, and that can include tongue, lip, or buccal ties. Number three is oral habits. And we see it's non-nutritive habits like finger, thumb sucking, lip licking, and nail biting that are prolonged. Number four, we have neurological or developmental abnormalities. And number five, we have mouth breathing. And when we're looking at mouth breathing, we're also looking at what's causing the mouth breathing. So is there an airway obstruction, such as enlarged tonsils and adenoids? Or are there allergies that are encouraging that mouth to be open? And we're going to be looking at seasonal, dietary, environmental. And for a full holistic approach, which is kind of out there for Western medicine, food intolerances, because they can contribute to inflammation of the airway as well.
So based on all these different causes, at what age is orofacial myofunctional therapy most beneficial?
A true traditional program requires some cognitive abilities and volitional control of the muscles, right? Of the mouth and the face. So the earliest age we could do a traditional program would be about 4 years old. Now, mind you, not every four-year-old can do this program, but there are four-year-olds that we are able to use a traditional approach with.
What do you do for the younger ones, the group that is under 5 years of age?
Absolutely. That's the trickiest group. So when we're looking at those really little ones from 2 to 4 years old, what I would recommend to a parent is to seek out a speech language pathologist or an occupational therapist who's trained in myofunctional therapy, tethered oral tissues, as well as feeding, because this unique skill set will allow this provider to create a program focusing on prevention and improving function using a variety of tools. Because the 2 to 4 program is not traditional. It can include feeding programs, or it can include oral motor programs to encourage the proper muscle movement. So when I say the best way to start, you know, myofunctional therapy, I feel like is to identify as early as possible.
Your answer. How will myofunctional therapy increase retention in cases in which the dentition has been treated orthodontically or orthopedically? What is the relationship between form and function?
There's a huge relationship. I mean, we know every malocclusion has a functional component, right? The muscle component. So when we're looking at form follows function, so the structure follows the movement of inside the mouth, at the same time, there's a balance of function follows form. So it's a like reciprocal relationship. So we work with orthodontists to resolve the myofunctional issues of our patients to help the teeth and mouth achieve a desired position before, during, and after. But it's really important, you know, we will help, but there's always going to be a likely intervention with dental and even a medical component to it.
Quite right about that. How do I know if a child has a tongue tie? Is this a fact?
So there are some signs and symptoms that may lead a parent to believe that their child may potentially have a tongue tie. The first one is, did the child have a history of difficulty with breast or bottle feeding? Did the child have a history of ear infections, chronic ear infections, torticollis, or even reflux as an infant? You know, does their child have a strong gag reflex still? Are they a picky eater? Do you notice an open posture throughout the day and at night as well? Is there teeth grinding? You know, has the child's facial growth been impacted? So does your child have a narrow or high palate? Are there crowding in the teeth? Teeth should obviously, as you know, teeth need to have spaces at that age. Is the chin retruded? And then lastly, here's another symptom. However, I want to make sure people know that not all speech disorders have a myofunctional component, right? So if your child is unclear speech, that would be suspect as well. And a lot of the sounds that we have found through research that might be impacted by a restricted lingual frenulum are the sound S, SH, CH, and jaw like Joe. And then sometimes we'll also see T, D, N, and L, a more interior placement of that sound, and R, K, and G. So those are typically the sounds that we see that are impacted by the placement because of the restricted lingual frenulum.
I'm so happy that you mentioned specific sounds so our community and our parents start searching for appropriate care if these disturbances in speech are present. Are tongue ties overdiagnosed?
Here's the issue with that. I think that there's a lot of misconception of what a tongue tie is, right? There are providers out there releasing tongue ties and not incorporating pre and post phrenectomy. Sure. But that is why, like, it is so important that a parent understands that their provider has proper training and knowledge. They have to do their research because a true provider will look at the function of the lingual frenulum to ensure that it's restricted. A tongue tie is only called that when it's restricted for a functional impact for breathing, swallowing, speech, and possibly sleep. Okay.
The tongue tie is more than a number then, because in dentistry, we're so focused on measuring X millimeters up on touching the roof of the mouth. Please continue. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I think numbers allow, that is a big difference between dentistry and speech pathology. I see that working with my RDH, very number-based. Numbers are important. I think they give information for parents to understand versus the description of the function, right? So when we're looking at a tongue tie assessment, it is more than just, can you stick your tongue out? can you stick it beyond your lips? That's what I hear many of my family say their pediatrician asked, or let me see a picture of it. You cannot diagnose a tongue tie from a picture or sticking it beyond your lips. You have to do a full functional evaluation, looking at how does that tongue move? What is the oral phase of swallowing look like? How are they chewing? How are they gathering the bolus? You know, what does that swallow look like? Is it the mature swallow or is it a tongue thrust swallow? And then Assessment also of function looks at articulation, sound placement, and even sleeping and breathing. So, you know, since the 1970s, was it 60s, 70s when formulae came out, we have really increased in mothers breastfeeding, right? So with that increase in breastfeeding, there's become more knowledge. There's been disciplinary working with a child with breastfeeding issues. So there's education, there's awareness, and also new research that's coming out about not only about tongue tie, but nasal breathing and correct oral rest position, and how are tongue ties possibly impacting that. So it's not a fad, and it's so multifactorial that I think people that go quick to judge, like, you know, a pediatrician or an ENT or even, you know, a parent, there's more to it.
And even orthodontists, we see a lack of education and misinformation amongst our specialty, which needs to be corrected to better serve the patients. Now, will myofunctional therapy fix a child dental issue?
Okay. As I'd mentioned earlier, myofunctional therapy remediates the functional issues, which, you know, likely got that child into that chair to begin with, right? But to the degree and depth that it will fix the dental issues is very individualized, because there may be more to it. We will definitely see a positive impact. However, it's different for every person.
Now, what are the goals of myofunctional therapy, Mary?
There are four main goals for myofunctional therapy. The first is nasal breathing. Number two is lips sealed. Number three is proper tongue position. And number four is the correct swallow. And why do we focus on these main goals? Well, it's important for us to remember that the body's fascia is connected from the tip of the tongue to the tip of the toes. So when there's one deficit in one area, the other areas will compensate for the impairment, right? So often our patients don't even realize all the impacts of the areas that OMD is actually causing. So when we structure treatment around these four goals, the OMDs are treated at the source.
From your answer, I gather that your approach is far more than muscles of the face. It seems that your approach is holistic.
Absolutely. The body doesn't work in isolation. And not only that, so we look at it holistically, but I also have to work with other professionals, collaborate with other professionals to provide the most optimal success for my patients. It is not, you know, myofunctional therapy is the only answer. We work with ENTs, orthodontists, pediatric dentists, body workers, and sometimes more than one provider is necessary.
Mary, at what age is orofacial myofunctional therapy most beneficial?
For a traditional program, the earliest age would be a child who's about 4 years old, who has the volitional control of the mouth and face muscles, and also cognitive ability to follow directions. Because myofunctional therapy requires a commitment and a discipline, and also support with the parents. That's really important too.
Very good. Thank you. So this is really a family effort. It's a joint team effort, and we need multiple points of support.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Mary, what do you do for the younger group, the age group under 5 years old?
That's a really great question. And it's also a really tricky age from 2 to 4. So what I recommend is to seek out a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is trained in myofunctional therapy, tethered oral tissues, and feeding. Because this unique skill set will allow a provider to create a program focusing on prevention and well improving function using a variety of tools.
Now, Mary, the information that you have given us today, it's outstanding. Thank you for sharing your valuable time with us. How can the community reach you to be able to get access to your expertise? Where are you located? Can you tell us about your practice, please?
Sure. We are located in Ashburn, Virginia, in Loudoun County. Our practice is called Sound Mouse, and we work with both children and adults. And the best way to reach us is to call us at 571-989-1190, or they can check out our website at soundmouse.com and has all our information on there as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mary, for being with us in this podcast. I hope our community and our patients get the benefit of your expertise and professionalism. And we hope to have you in a follow-up podcast with specific areas of concern to guide our patient community even further. Thank you again, Mary, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You as well.